I have a friend in Florida. Anybody have friends in Florida? Family, friends and family, Framley. We have Framley in Florida as our godparents of our kids. And his name is Don White, and he's a financial planner, which, you know, I should have more money with a financial planner as a friend, but I don't. And so Don, I talked to him today. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Anybody have a friend that's, how do I say this, a talker? You know what I'm saying? You got a husband who's a talker? I had no idea. So I'm talking to Don, and you know, you're on the cell phone or whatever, and he lives around water, so they're near the Atlantic Ocean, and we used to live there, and you have to go over water to get places, and his office is over water. It's over the, we call it the river, but it's really the, it's really not. It's like ocean, brackish water. Anyway, so you go over the bridge and all that kind of stuff to get to his office. So there's a dead spot. So you ever been talking to someone and there's talking along, and Don's the type of person you go, with, you know, you have an friend that you talk to make sure that you know that. I had no idea. And so I'm talking to him. And he's going through this whole story of everything. We're catching up or whatever. And all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. And the connection was lost. And so over the water, he kind of dropped the call a little bit. But what's funny about that is, I know Don's still talking. Right? You know, he's just going and going and going and going. So he calls me back 10 minutes later. Hey, buddy. I'm like, all right. This is where I left off. I don't know where you left off, but that's where I left off. And the connection's lost. Remember back when there was dial-up? Good to see both of you here today. But there were these things called landline phones. And you and in order to get on the internet, you had to use a landline phone, and it made a little noise. Right. And you'd be like downloading music or something, or downloading a video file, which like took, you know, 969 years. And so you're doing that, and all of a sudden there's a call, and somebody in the house answers it, and it's gone forever. And it didn't pick up. You had to start all over with the whole thing. The connection was lost. A lot of times with the Lord, our connection has been lost in talking with Him, in knowing Him, in hearing from Him. I sometimes wonder if we like just kind of leave and God's still talking. I said, well, God doesn't talk to me. Maybe you just kind of left the call, you know, and he's trying to. You just missed out. Or sometimes our connection's fuzzy. So today we're going to kind of clear up this fuzzy connection with God. How do we really pray? How do we really talk to God? How do we really live and pray? The Bible says pray without stopping. Don't stop praying. How do you stay in connection with God? John 15:5, it's in the program there at the bottom, and we'll come back to it. But Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're connected to me, if you abide in me, if you live in me, then you'll bear fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. But with me, you know, nothing is impossible. So our goal in our life, what Jesus died for, to forgive us of our sins, to reconcile us to God, so that we can know Him. And when I say know Him, not just worship Him from afar, but live with Him. And the Bible tells us that when we become followers of Christ, that He puts the Holy Spirit, God Himself, comes into us and lives within us. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So from head to the bottom of your feet, you are the temple of God. Of the Holy Spirit. Your body is where the Spirit of God resides, literally lives. So in order for us to live the life out that God intends for us to live, we have to be connected to Him. So Jesus is going along, and He has been praying, as He is very often did. And then His disciples come to Him, and they ask Him a question. Can you teach us how to pray? So read along with me here in Luke, the 11th chapter. It starts with the 11th verse. What we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, many times, most of us have this memorized. I'm amazed because there's so many Catholic background people. It's something that you actually memorize. And I'll say, hey, we recite the Lord's Prayer. And most of you could probably do that along with us. Now, those of us who grew up Baptist, when it comes to trespasses, we do debts and debtors, but it's pretty close to the same thing. And I made the mistake at a funeral once doing debts and debtors, and everybody was Catholic. So that was a bad day. It was actually a good day, but it was an awkward moment. All right, so let's read here. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, all right, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come soon. Thy kingdom come. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Then teaching more about prayer, he used this story. Did you know this was part of it? Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. Suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night. My family and I are all in bed, I can't help you, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. When we go to the Lord, it says he was praying, teach us how to pray. He says, Father, may your name be kept holy. Hallowed be your name. Or during October, you know, peanuts. Halloween be your name. Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. And that tells us to have the right perspective. When we go and we're talking to the Lord, and when we're talking to the Lord, I don't mean like this guy in the video, sit down, oh, Father, the Lord hath helpeth us, and we're all flattered. Like God is like, I'm so unimpressed. We just talk. They're just words. They're powerful words, so they're not just words, but guys and gals, they're just words. They're just talking to a friend. The Spirit of God, how do I talk to God? Some people say, how do I talk to God? You know, he's so big, he seems so far away. Did you remember what I just shared with you from Scripture? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God is closer to you than the person next to you. Actually, God is closer to you than your own breath. He lives inside of you. So when we say, we kind of tell the Holy Spirit that we don't recognize who he really is when we say, well, you know, God's so far away or God is so distant. God is really not distant. He's right there with you. And you've got to know who he is. You have the right perspective. God is here. God is with me. God is the great God of all the universe. He's set apart. He's different. And you know what he says? Jesus says this. He says, when we come to the Father, we say, Abba, Father. You know what Abba means? Yeah, it means daddy. Daddy, Father. So we come right up to things. I'm always amazed at presidents and things. Trump's son, his younger son, and then Obama's daughters and the Bush daughters and those things. I always look at them, and you know they're out there doing their official stuff. But if you'll see how they act around dad or you know around their father, you can tell that's just dad to them. They realize they're doing something important and big whoopee do, and they act a certain way. But they're looking to him what to do and how to do it, and they're just kind of there because they know him in a different way than people know him through news media or Facebook complaints or whatever. They know him as the Father that loves them. And so he says, when you come to the Father, come to him, Abba, Father, Daddy, and you ask. You have the right perspective. Yes, he's the great God of all the universe, which is great for you. That doesn't mean he's distant and unavailable. That means he's powerful and can do something about your problem. And he says, bring them to me. I always hate going to the store with all the Walmartians and things. And you've got all the little kids. Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And, you know, and Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And they're in the cart. and I always turned to Robin and said, you know, I could fix that if they'd let me, you know. You ever? And, I won't go any further into that story. But, you know, I could repent. But, you know, some we've had meltdowns in our family at the stores. Not much you can do about it. But they're just begging. They're begging. And the mom's just tired. Or dad is just, shut up, be quiet, I'm done. Or sometimes they just, like, tune them out completely. But they keep on persisting. And you're just tired. But you know what God says? He says, ask me. I'm asking you to ask me. So it's the right perspective. All right. Now, here's the thing. When you ask, you have to be kingdom-minded. Be kingdom-minded. Your will be done on earth in the same way that it is done in heaven. Be kingdom-minded. God's will. You may not always like God's will. I know I don't always like God's will. I may not always like how it goes down. I may not even always like what God asks me to do, especially when it's a difficult thing with another person, or I have to ask for forgiveness, or I have to deal with someone that's difficult and be loving and be caring toward them when I don't want to. But I do sometimes because you're kingdom-minded. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Most of the times when I talk to God, see if it's the same for you, my focus is on my kingdom. No amens. What the heck? My focus is on my kingdom, my family, my situation, my job. God, help me with this. God, I'm struggling with that. God, thanks. And those are very, very legitimate prayers to have. But when we go to the Lord in prayer, it's not just a problem child list that we go to. We go and we think, all right, God, how are you glorified through this? God, how can your kingdom come in this? God, how can I be your child in this situation? Lord, how can I be an ambassador for you at work? Lord, how can we show people who you are through this? Lord, what are you trying to do in me and make me different in my circumstances and what I'm going through? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? Because, guys, the goal of maturity, we're talking about maturity during this entire series, the goal of maturity is not that you become smarter about the Bible, although that's great. You become more intelligent about spiritual things, although that's awesome, and you're going to need to do that. But true spiritual maturity is this: you trust God with everything. I'm maturing when I trust God. It's the same way with the kids, right? You don't give your 3-year-old the keys to the car. You may not give your 18-year-old the keys. Yeah, you know, you don't just hand that off. Why? Because they're not trustworthy with it. Not that they're bad, but they're just not mature, right? They can't be trusted with that. God is wanting to entrust us with more. God is wanting to entrust us. And we have to, in order to be entrusted, we trust Him. We trust Him with our finances. And that's why we encourage the tithe. Not so we can throw more money around or whatever, although we do more ministry with more money. One pastor, Vance Havner, was asked one time, he says, how much ministry can you do with a dollar? And he answered, about a dollar's worth, something like that. And that's true, so that's a reality. But that's not why we ask you to do that. We ask you to do that so that you'll trust God. The reason it's in Scripture is so that you'll trust God with that. And you can live more off of 90% than you can off of 110%, which is the average usage of the modern American person. They live off 110% of their income. Doesn't work. That's why we ask you, or the Bible asks you, to trust God with your marriage. We talked a couple weeks ago about people are looking for their soulmate and compatibility. There is no soulmate. It doesn't exist. There's no soulmate. Quit looking for that person. You're not going to find your happiness. Why do you want to be married? I want to be happy. You're asking that person to do something they cannot do. That's only something God can do. God can only fill you. Now, you can have companionship and you can have love and all kinds of wonderful things, but you're not going to find a soulmate who completes you. That's stupid. That only happens on, you know, Jerry Maguire. It's dumb. And you don't hear the rest of the story, you know. And if you did, you'd realize even the guy that plays that character is on his, like, fourth or so. I mean, it's the soulmate's not there. And we keep looking for that. Maybe just somebody different. And we go and try to find happiness in that person. That person's trying to find happiness in us. And we just suck each other dry, emotionally and otherwise, instead of letting God fill us and then in turn flow out of that onto other people. So we're kingdom-minded. What does God want? We trust Him with our marriage. We trust Him with our family. We trust Him with our church, which is His church to begin with. We trust Him with everything. And our mindset needs to be when we pray, instead of, God, help me with this, God, help me with this, God, help me with this. And just the language itself, it's like, God, help me do what I'm doing. Assist me, Lord, in doing what I'm doing. And it just sounds a whole lot like my kingdom when I say that, doesn't it? Instead, your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And even better, your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Make me prepared for heaven. Make me prepared to live with you. All right? And then trust God to provide. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, it doesn't say, give us this day our retirement program. Just today. Our daily bread. And this was much more common back then. They would work for the day, especially in the agricultural area. Unless you were the owner, you would work for a day. And that one day, you'd get a denarii or whatever for that day. Then you had to get up and work again because you got a day's wage. So he said, give us our daily bread. Give me a job for today. Give me what I need for today. God doesn't promise to give you security and comfort forever and ever, but He does say, I will provide for you if you'll trust me for what you need today. So we trust God. And when we go to the Lord in prayer and we're talking to God, we often, you know, do our worry prayers. God, help me with this. God, help me with that. And God is saying, trust me with it. Trust me with this. Trust me with your situation. Trust me with what's going on. And we put our trust in Him, and He provides. But we often go not believing that He's going to do anything. God, I know you can't do anything about this, or you won't. But then we pray. I mean, we don't really say that out loud because it's kind of rude to the Lord, right? But that's what we're really thinking or how we're really feeling. When Jesus says, when you come, come believing. Don't believe that if you ask anything in prayer and you don't have faith that you'll get anything. Believe. Have faith. Now, the answer that you get might not be to your liking. It might not be exactly what you prayed for. Yeah, but aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful for unanswered prayers? You know, Lord, give me that girl. She's the hottest freshman in college. Oh, I need her. And then, you know, right? And then, you know, and then you're like 50 or 40 or whatever. You see them on Facebook and they're complaining. Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer. You know what I'm saying? Or you see the guy, give me that good-looking guy. Oh, he's so cute. Now, you know, 50, I won't tell you what the guy looks like, but what they act like, you know. God gives you some. Now, I'm an exception. I prayed for my wife. I said, God, I don't expect you to give me this woman, but if you'd give me somebody just like her, I would be so appreciative. In Jesus' name, I honestly prayed that prayer after a first date, got on my top bunk because I was in a dorm. And that's what I prayed. And the Lord said, well, you know, I can't make two of her. I guess I'll give you this one. So I got that. Oh, it was romantic. Y'all tell her I said that. I haven't been romantic in like months. So I need some points. Help me out. But we believe. We trust God to provide. Now, let's go to the next thing here. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Here's what I'm not saying. Forgive. Jesus says, if you have something against your brother and you come to me praying and you're putting something on the altar, stop, go deal with your problem with your brother, reconcile to them, and then you can come and you can worship me. So you've got to connection. Our connection to each other can be a disconnect to God. Listen, your marriage, your disconnect from your husband or your wife can be a major affecting thing that can make your connection to God fuzzy. You deal with that. You talk to the Lord about that. But you forgive. Here's what it's not doing. It is forgiving is not letting somebody off the hook. It's not saying that what they've done to you is not bad or wrong. What it is doing is giving it over to the Lord and letting God take care of them. Okay? Vengeance or whatever he needs to deal with. So, Lord, I give them over to you, and may I give you a suggestion about how to deal with them, because they really deserve, you know. But you turn it over to God and let him deal with them as he sees fit. But it is not letting them off the hook. It is also not forgetting. You heard forgive and forget, right? That's in the Bible. No, it's not. God's not stupid. He's not forgotten things, but he has forgiven us of our sins. We don't forgive and forget. We forgive and release. You don't become stupid and forget that somebody's done something. And you don't go right back to that person who has proven themselves to be untrustworthy as if though nothing had ever happened. Because forgiveness is between you and God, but trust is between you and them. Does that make sense, guys? So I'm not saying let them off the hook, forget about it, act like it never happened. That's not actually biblical. What it is to be biblical, what it is to do, what God tells us to do in relationship with him is to forgive and to release them over to the Lord. And when you do that, then you're able to talk with the Lord, and that connection with him is open. And you don't let that person who has harmed you or who needs forgiveness, whether they ask for it or not, or whether they're even alive, it keeps that person from being, well, I don't know how else to say it, from being your God. Because if you're putting that person between you and God, you're worshiping them more than you are worshiping God. Now, that's tough to hear. But that's not for their sake. It's for your sake to let them go, to release them to the Lord. All right, and it's eliminate distractions. Eliminate distractions. Don't let us yield to temptation. Don't let us walk into sin. We want to follow you, Lord. We want to do what you want us to do. Don't let us yield to temptation. This is what the enemy's whole goal is to get us connected to him. And when I say connected to him, I don't mean you're a Satan worshiper. I mean connected to the world. Anything that is not God at all, connected to him, distracted. He has weapons of mass distractions to get you off center, off connection, off focus, off kingdom-mindedness, off of forgiveness, off of trust in him, off of all of these things. And if he can just derail you a little bit, then he can keep your connection with God fuzzy, or he can disconnect it altogether, because your focus is on all of the things and all of the circumstances that he has going on around you to try and get you to be distracted and even to say, God doesn't love me or God doesn't care. And he starts putting this barrage of garbage in your mind and things. And we have to keep our mind focused and eliminating distractions, and putting our complete focus on him. We sit down and we talk to the Lord, clearly. Distractions are pretty common, right? Anybody else do that? You sit down, you spend time. I mean like my house, you cannot get up early enough to not be distracted, you know, just about in our house. If somebody hears you stir, they're coming, whether it's a dog or a child or something. It's you're going to be, anybody, can I get a witness? I mean, really? Thank you. Okay, so I'm not the only one. To eliminate distractions. And what I do is I keep just kind of a list when I do sit down and, oh, Lord, because I'll be talking and it'll be like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this. And now I'll just get, you'll do that. So I just start writing down. And what's cool about writing things down is you can forget about them, at least for that period of time. All right, I wrote that down. I will get to that. And then you can go back to what you're doing with the Lord. I wrote that down. I can do that. I can deal with that. No big deal. It's already done. Now, you do have to find time. And this is where, if you're married, you can have help with your husband or wife. Say, I want to spend time with the Lord here. 20 or 30 here. You do the kid stuff. Then you trade off and that kind of thing. You do have to be intentional about spending time with the Lord. But we're also talking about spending time with the Lord all of the time. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So when we pray without stopping, when we pray without ceasing, it's talking about our connection with God, knowing Him and walking the day with Him. Now, you also spend time with Him in study. We talked about that last week. You also take separate time with Him. I mean, if you never go on a date with your wife, guys, that's dumb, you know? Because you want to have some time to speak with Him. Remember, she's not your soulmate. She doesn't have ESPN. She doesn't know what you're thinking all the time. We're difficult to understand. You've got to talk with them. So you have to spend time alone. But what we're talking about with connection and a clear connection with God is walking the day with Him. Talking the day with Him. Talk to God about everything. You're getting a temptation in your heart and your mind. Talk to the Lord about it. That's a little bit awkward, right? But God deals with those things. You want the powerful God of all the universe with you walking along. And when you pray with persistence. This story here of the guy that's getting the bread. Most of the houses there are stone, or at the time were stone. And what they would have would be a large wooden door. Now, there were no street lights, people. There was no electricity. And usually, you would have a door, and under the door would be a little niche, a little nook. So you would close the door off from your home, first of all, to keep thieves and robbers out. Second of all, to keep heat or cool in, such as the case may be or the season may be. And then you latch it down, and you're in there for the night. And you lay here, and mama lays here, and babies all lay here. So when you're in there for the night, what he's saying is, I need some bread. Now, as you're laying down here, usually the man would stay closest to the door. You do that? Do you guys sleep closest to the door? It's a man thing. You're going to protect you sleep closest to the door because you're going to be the stopgap between evil out there and things. And if you got little kids, then you want the mom close to the door because that evil, you want her to deal with, right? So anyway, in the middle of the night. I shouldn't have said that. Whoops. So they're here, and they're doing all this. So in order to get the bread, he has to go over his family. And do you know what it's like? You ever gone to a door, and it says on there, upon pain of death, do not ring the doorbell. We have a baby. And if you wake the baby up, I'm going to give you the baby, and you can have the baby. Don't wake this baby. You know, you ever have one of those when you go to the door? You ever put one of those signs out? Once you get them down, you do not want to get them up because you have a short span, a window of time before life begins again with this beautiful little creature. All right? But you've got to have the time. And it's kind of like that. So you'd have to walk over them to get it. And then you'd have to slip under this little niche, this little nook. You would slip the bread underneath it. So in order to give him what he wanted, he would have to disturb his family. He would have to put a light on, and a light would light up the room, and all kinds of things. Please, we are in bed for the night. So you understand what Jesus is saying here? We're in bed for the night. Have to get up, go to the fridge, get it all prepared, wake everybody up. But he just keeps knocking until finally it's just easier to go and disturb everybody, get it over with so you can get it done. Now, Jesus doesn't commend the annoying neighbor, but he does say, persist. Keep talking with me. Keep communicating with me. Keep speaking with me. Keep listening with me. And if you have a request, be persistent with it. Keep asking, what am I trying to teach you by saying no? Or what am I trying to teach you by delaying? Or what am I trying to do by delaying? Do you realize that it's not always about you? Sometimes God delays his request for you in order to affect somebody in your life that you don't even know about. And it just takes time for that to happen. God is going to use those things. But you're persistent, and you continue to talk to him, and you keep knocking, and you keep going, and you keep believing, and you keep trusting, and you talk with him. And guys, it's that simple. It's not rocket surgery. You're talking with the Lord that is, you know, just now got that. You're talking with the Lord who lives inside you. He's closer than your closest breath. And that's what he wants. This is why Jesus shed his blood for you. This is why Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God. He lives in the... You can talk to him. You can speak to him. You don't have to go through a mediator, a priest, or Mary, or pastor, or anybody else. You can talk straight to him if you know him. And I'm going to encourage you right now. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. If you want to bow your head, close your eyes, sure, go ahead. But I'm going to invite you, if you don't know him like that, the Spirit of God doesn't live in you. He wants to know you. And Jesus died to reconcile you to him so that you could know the Father intimately and he could lead you and prepare you for heaven, but know you, walk with you, be connected with you, know you closer than you know yourself. So you invite him in, and I'm going to invite you to do that right now. A simple prayer, something like, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I messed up. And it broke my connection with you, the Father, Spirit. So forgive me. I trust you with my sins. I believe you died for my sins, and you rose again from the dead. And I want you to be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me. To clean me out from all of those things that I've done, I want a fresh start today. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd send the Holy Spirit to live in my life, and I want to talk with you and know you, and as best I know, with you guiding me, with you living inside of me, I want to follow you with all of my life. And now, believer, I pray for you. Lord Jesus, we come to you, and we praise you as our great Savior. Father, we come to you as Abba, as Daddy. We come before you right now with so many things on our hearts. And may your kingdom be done, kingdom life be done, your will be done in our lives this week. May your will be done on this earth, such as it is in our domain or in our lives that we're around. We want to make it your domain. We want to have your kingdom live in us. So today, we surrender those things to you. And we surrender ourselves to you for your will to be done. And as we talk with you this week, Lord, we relish the opportunity to know you, to love you, to walk with you every day, and to just talk with you about everything. And as you live through us in your power and your strength, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in us as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're on the end, if you'll